Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the first week of our new series called Don't At Me, and this week Pastor Josh explains the heart behind this series and its name, then goes on to speak into how we can best honor God and others. Enjoy the message!
Church, how's everybody doing? You guys good? Great to see you guys. So it's good to be here on a beautiful little rainy fall morning. So hey, I'm glad you guys are here. If you happen to be new with us, my name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors, and just excited. Thank you. Like three of you, okay? And now, yeah, it's bad when you got to ask people to moving on. Seriously, if you are a guest with us, thanks for being here. I hope that you have a great day. And I hope that just even as you come in, that it's one of those moments where you just go, man, I'm glad I came to church today. You did pick a great time to come. We're launching a new series today. And I'm going to spend some time talking about this for a second, all right? Because normally, when I kind of launch into a message, you know, I'll do a little quick little greeting and stuff like that. And then typically, I'm either going to make a statement, ask a question, or maybe tell you a real quick story to try to maybe capture your attention so that you'll listen for the next 25, 30 minutes, all right? Today, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm actually, for 15 minutes, I'm going to talk on why you need to listen to the last 15, okay? Now, I know that's going to be a struggle. So I'm asking you just to try to journey with me because to set up this series, to set up this message, I can't just do it in 1 minute. Like I got to explain our whole reason that we're going into this series, all right? The first reason is this, that this is, if I could say it this way, this is a third part of an overall series. If you're watching a TV show, you would call this season 3, all right? If you go back to season 1, we talked about how God matters. And that was back in August when we were getting ready to go into the school year. We talked a lot about how God matters, just period, God matters. And we did that by talking about Moses and the first 4 commandments that we find in the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy. And those first 4 commandments all talk about the fact that God matters, all right? And if you remember, if you were here, I said that series was going to be a series that would kind of be an undercurrent of our entire school year together, that this idea that God matters would flow with us, all right? But then we went into the season 2, if you want to call it that, and that was called Verified, all right? And in Verified, we added to the fact that God matters, and we also said you matter. That we looked at the life of Moses, and we just really did a biographical study of Moses' life. And in his life, we talked about how he came to understand that God matters, and he came to understand that he mattered, that God had a purpose for him, that God had a calling for him, that God had some things that he wanted to do. Now, in this one, we're adding on one more level, all right? So we're going from God matters to you matter to people matter. That as we look at this series called Don't At Me, we're going to talk about the fact that people matter. And we're going to continue looking at Moses and go back into the Ten Commandments. So what it really means is over the course of 16 weeks, we're going to be talking about Moses or the Ten Commandments. And we're going to see how these last 6 commandments all help us understand how to love people because they matter. The first 4 commandments are all about God and how to love God. The last 6 commandments are all about people and how to love people because people matter, all right? So that's one aspect of this series that I need you to understand. The other thing I need you to understand is what this phrase, don't at me, even means, okay? Now, let's go ahead and be honest. If you're in the room, it's okay to admit it. How many of you all have no clue what that phrase means? Anybody? You're willing to admit it with me. Okay. All right, good. All right. Now, chances are, if there's a teenager or a college student sitting next to you, they can explain it to you, okay? Like, seriously, we were in discussions about our series, and I said, guys, this is where I want to go with this series. And they said, oh, you need to call it Don't At Me. And I said, what in the world does that mean? Because I had no clue, all right? So all the young people on staff, they started explaining to me. I'm like, makes perfect sense. Because what Don't At Me means, it comes from the social media world, especially Twitter and Instagram, where it really has a dual meaning. The first one is this, that if somebody is making a statement and they don't want a comment left, like they don't want your opinion, they just want to make a statement, they want to give their opinion without yours being added in it, they would say something and then say, and don't at me. Meaning, don't include your Instagram handle in this, I don't care. All right? For instance, I went on Twitter this week and I started doing some research. Because I had to know what I was talking about, okay? But as I was doing the research and I kind of searched, don't at me, the first one I saw was this. A person said, candy corn is the worst Halloween candy ever invented. Don't at me. Okay? Now, how many of y'all would agree with that statement that candy corn is bad? Well, you need Jesus. Okay? You need Jesus. Now, I get you. You don't eat candy corn all year long. But the month of October, if you take some candy corn, throw it in with some peanuts, man, I can munch on that all day while I'm watching football. You with me? Y'all are my people, okay? So that was one of them. Another one was this, that Joaquin Phoenix is the greatest Joker ever. Don't at me, okay? Anybody in here happen to see the recent Joker movie? Okay? So a couple of y'all, I've heard that he was really good in it. But in my opinion, Heath Ledger is by far the greatest Joker ever, okay? So that a person was trying to make a statement saying, I don't want to hear from you. Here was another one. It was right after a Laker game, and Anthony Davis and LeBron both went off, and a guy said, Anthony Davis, LeBron will be the best duo in the NBA this year. Don't at me. All right, and what he was trying to say is, he said, I don't want to hear about Steph and Clay. I don't want to hear about KD and about Kyrie. That he was saying LeBron and AD will be the best in the NBA. That was a statement he was making and saying, I don't need your opinion afterwards. This is important to think about. Hold on to that for a second. Because there's another way that this phrase is used. And this phrase is also used when somebody says something, and when you hear it, you're like, ouch, like, man, don't at me, okay? Like, you just called me out. You just put my stuff out there in front of everybody. Like, you're stepping on my toes. You're getting after me here. You know what I mean? So you say that. And you all do this to me all the time. Like, all the time, I'll be standing in the lobby just being a happy face, trying to greet some people, and you'll walk in, and you'll be like, hey, Josh, you see New England won another game. I'd be like, why are you telling me about the Patriots, all right? Like, I don't need to hear that, but you're doing it. Or I got this one today. Somebody said, hey, Josh, are you preaching today? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, it's good you finally work. Last week you had Scott was preaching, so you had a day off, right? Y'all say that. You'll say things like, don't you only work one day a week? And I want to remind you, we have services on Thursday and Sunday, okay? Where I really hear it is I'll be talking and then I'll talk to one of the young adults from our church, and they'll be like, man, that sermon, dude, like I felt like I just needed to say don't at me, because everything you were saying was hitting me in the heart, was stepping on my toes, was calling me out. And here's why this series is called this. Because God, through Moses in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament, they made some statements. And when Jesus makes this statement, he's basically saying, I don't need your opinion afterwards. That I'm giving you truth, and you need to accept it. Yet the truth that he gives hurts. And I just got to warn you right now, the next 6 weeks, we're going to hear some things that Jesus said, that if we're willing to open our heart and open our mind, you will recognize, and I will recognize, that what he says hurts. Because he's going to call some stuff out in our life that we're going to have to deal with. And he's going to do it by talking about the Ten Commandments. And I know I get this all the time. Here's one other thing I need to set up this series with. Is I'll hear, well, do we even need to talk about the Ten Commandments? Like the Ten Commandments, that's Old Testament. That's 3,500 years ago. What do they have to do with my life today? All right? And I'll have people say, you know, my life, my faith is based on what Jesus said or what Jesus did, so I didn't need to worry about the Old Testament. And I say that my faith, make sure you catch this, I say all the time that my faith is squarely based off of the words and the works of Jesus. But Jesus often quoted the Old Testament. That Jesus spoke of the Ten Commandments, and he said with these Ten Commandments, this is actually how you're supposed to live them out. And he did so in many different places, but in the book of Matthew, we have it very clearly, all right? And I love the book of Matthew, all right? Let me just geek out on you for just a second, okay? I love history, and I love biographies. So when you look at the book of Matthew, what you're getting is a biography written about the history of Jesus and how he fulfills the prophecies and the history of the Jewish people, all right? That Matthew was just a guy, just a tax collector who was alive on this earth when Jesus was going through. And one day Jesus passed by Matthew, he saw him at his tax collector's booth, and he said, hey, why don't you get up? I've got something much more for you, something better. And Matthew got up and he started following Jesus. And as he started to follow Jesus, he heard what Jesus had to say, he saw what Jesus did, and then he heard Jesus predict his own death and resurrection and then actually pull it off. So at that point, Matthew's like, I'm all in. I'm following you because you are definitely the Messiah. And then Matthew took what he had experienced, what he had witnessed, what he saw, and he wrote it down in a book or on a scroll back then in what we call a book today, so that we would still have it. So Matthew, in his writing, is helping people understand who Jesus is, all right? And in it, he is very specific, all right? I love how specific he is because he is writing to one group and one group only. Like when I preach, I don't preach to one group. You guys get that? You can look around the room. We are a very diverse group. When I preach, there's three different groups of people that I'm always trying to preach to. I'm always trying to preach to those of you who are in this generation, which would be young adults, college age, high school students, middle school students. I'm always thinking, how are you receiving this? What are you hearing? Are you able to apply it into your life? Yet I'm also always preaching to those of you who are in here for the very first time, that this is maybe your first experience with God or your first experience at the Rock, and trying to make sure that I'm saying things in a way that will apply to your life and that you can catch and that where you'd say, yeah, maybe I want to investigate who Jesus is a little bit more. And then I'm also always trying to communicate to people like me who have been following Jesus now for 30 years and you've been walking with God for a long time that I want to make sure what I'm saying also helps you, all right? So there's three different groups I'm always trying to communicate with, all right? Matthew, in the book of Matthew, he's trying to communicate to one group. Jewish people who had a faith in God, he was trying to communicate to them that Jesus was the Messiah. That's all he was communicating to. He wasn't trying to communicate to the Gentiles. He wasn't trying to communicate to people who didn't know God. He was specifically speaking to people who had faith in God, and he was trying to help them understand that Jesus was the Messiah. And this is important because what he was doing is he was trying to show them, listen, you guys have put your whole faith in Moses, but Jesus is actually the fulfillment of Moses. That Jesus is the better Moses. That he's like Moses, but even one more than that, all right? And you can go all the way through the book of Matthew and you can see these things, all right? And there's all kinds of similarities between Jesus and Matthew. Let me go on to this one. It says this, Jesus and Moses. That Moses, that the king tried to kill Moses. But a king tried to kill Jesus as well, all right? That King Herod tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby, just like the Pharaoh tried to kill Moses when he was a baby. You can look at it this way, that Moses traveled to and from Egypt, all right? That was Moses, but that was also Jesus. That Jesus fled to Egypt when he was being pursued by the King Herod, and he fled there for safety and then came out of there. That Moses told the king to free the people. And Jesus went to the king of this earth, Satan, and he said, free the people. That Moses did a lot of miracles, and Jesus did a lot of miracles. That Moses preached his most famous sermon from a mountain. Moses' most famous sermon is the sermon about the Ten Commandments. And it was done from Mount Sinai. And Jesus preached what many of us would call his most famous sermon, called the Sermon on the Mount, from a mountain as well. And on his Sermon from the Mount, he quoted directly or indirectly all of the commandments. All right, we're going to see that as we go through this series. That Moses spoke to a broken people, and Jesus spoke to a broken people. And Moses ushered in a new kingdom for the Jews. And Jesus ushered in a new kingdom for all of us. That Jesus is the fulfillment of what Moses brought. He's the fulfillment of what you could call the law, the Ten Commandments. This was Jesus' words in the book of Matthew. Jesus said, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." That Jesus is saying, I have come to accomplish the purpose of the Ten Commandments. And the purpose of the Ten Commandments is to help us as people love God and love people. It's to help us as people understand that God matters and that people matter. All right? So that's where we're at. So for the rest of this series, we're going to look at what Moses said by God in Exodus, and then how Jesus basically looked at that and said, now let me fulfill that verse, all right? And to do that, we're going to go to the fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. How many of y'all parents know that verse? Right? Every parent in here. Because every parent, whether you believe in Jesus or don't, you've probably said that at some point in your life, all right? That my mom, all right, my mom, she did not follow God. She didn't have a Bible. She was not a Jesus person, okay? Yet, I can tell you she knew that verse. I didn't know God, and she was still quoting this verse to me, all right? As parents, we love to quote that verse, honor your father and your mother. And I know right now, some of you parents are like, oh, I'm so glad my kid came with me today. I know it. And I am too. I'm glad for every teenager that is here. And I want you to catch this verse. But I want you to catch it in the way that Jesus intended it. All right? Because we can all be honest straight off the bat. We've all dishonored our father and our mother, right? How many of y'all have dishonored your father and mother? Everybody should have their hand up, okay? Thank you, honey, for helping your dad out. I appreciate that. Because that's true. And if you didn't raise your hand, in about 4 weeks, we're going to talk about lying, okay? But we've all done it. We've all lied to our parents. We've all told our parents something that was probably untrue, okay? That we've all back-talked our parents. Maybe you've taken money out of their purse. Maybe you've stolen their car. Maybe I should quit throwing myself under the bus right now. But we've done it. But what God says, God said this through Moses. He said, honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God has given you. Let's just break this apart for a second, okay? Because honestly, it is a simple commandment, but it's not easy. I was golfing with a guy this week, and he said, golf is simple, it's just not easy. And I was like, oh, that'll preach. Because that's what this verse is. It's simple. I think we can all look at it and go, yep. Honor your father and mother, okay? Honor, if you look at that word, all right, it means to esteem, to respect, and to obey. So if we think about it just in our parental world, all right, if I esteem, if I respect, and if I obey your father and mother, that's what it would be to honor. And then Moses adds this on, okay, as a promise. He says, then you will live a long, full life in the land your God has given you. Other translations say it this way, then it will go well with you, all right? And we get that right, because how many of y'all have dishonored your father or mother and it did not go well, okay? Yeah, we can all remember those days, all right? I mean, we can all catch that. But if we were to actually do it, it would go well. And I want you to see why Moses is saying this in this instance. Moses, again, is talking to a new nation. They had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They had gotten out of Egypt. They had been freed from Egypt. And now he's trying to teach this whole nation how to live. And one of the ways he taught them how to live in the first four is by honoring God, by loving God. And now as he starts with the fifth commandment, he's saying, and now we got to love people. We got to honor people, all right? And if you'll just do what your parents did, then it will go well, all right? Now, I know right now some of you are like, oh, if I did what my parents did, it will not go well. We'll get to that in a second. But let's stay 3,500 years ago for a second. That Moses is looking to a group of elders, parents, older people who have watched the Lord split the waters in half. They've watched the Lord do all these miracles. So he is saying to the older crowd, listen, you all know God now. So make sure that you teach that to your kids. And kids, if you will simply do what your parents do and follow them because they should be following God, then things will go well. That's what he's getting at. Because remember, 3,500 years ago, it was a patriarchal society. So as a son, you would do whatever your dad did. If he was a carpenter, you were a carpenter. If he worked with metal, you worked with metal. If he was a shepherd, you were a shepherd. That you did whatever career your father did, and you followed in his footsteps when it came to beliefs and practices and all of that. Right? And Moses was saying, if we will live that kind of a life, then it will go well for generation after generation after generation. But the problem is we've walked away from that, haven't we? And the problem is the generation didn't do it quite right. That first generation Moses was talking to, they messed up, and then a bunch of them died off, and so they were raising up a new generation that would learn to live by what their parents were doing. That's why we got to honor, okay? But then Jesus is looking at a crowd 1,500 years later, for us 2,000 years ago, and he's saying this, listen, let me help you understand that commandment a little bit better. Rather than just honoring your father and your mother, Jesus one-ups it, which he does with every commandment. As we're going to see over the next 6 weeks, every commandment, Jesus just one-ups. And some of them, he does it directly, like we're going to see next week where he'll say, you've heard it said this, and now I say this. This week, it's indirectly, but it's still there. That Jesus is saying, you've heard it said, honor your father and mother, but now what he says is you simply need to honor everyone. That you need to honor everyone. Look at his actual words. Do to others, this is in the Sermon on the Mount, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the Law and the Prophets. Do you see it? He's saying everything you've heard in the Ten Commandments can be summed up in this simple way. Do to others what you want them to do to you. In another place, he said it this way, love others. That's it. And think about it from an honor perspective. If we want honor, then we have to honor others. And bottom line is, we all want honor. Every one of us in this room wants to be honored. We all want to be respected. We all want to be valued. Doesn't mean that you want to be put on a pedestal and have people say all kinds of things about you, but you want to be honored, respected, and valued, each and every one of us, myself included. So if we want to be respected, we want to be valued, we want to be honored, then the way we do it is by honoring others. So again, Jesus doesn't just say honor your father and mother. He doesn't get rid of that. We're still supposed to do that. He just one-ups it and he says, just honor everyone. Just honor your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law. Your boss, your classmate, your neighbor. Honor everyone. Well, that just got even harder, didn't it? Because let's admit it, we've all failed in this area. We've all failed at honoring our father and mother 100% of the time, and we've all failed at honoring everyone. And I know what you might be thinking right now. You might say, whoa, time out, Josh. You're telling me I need to honor everyone? You're telling me I need to honor the person who's dishonored me? Like That's you're telling me I need to honor the person who dishonored me when the way they physically abused me or sexually abused me or verbally abused me. And I'm not making light of that, because I know there's a bunch of you in this room that you've dealt with that and are dealing with that. So I'm not making light of it. But I am saying, yes, we do have to honor. So if that's the truth, then how do we honor? And I'd say give you just two ways. It's not the only ways, but two basic ways to start this process. And the first one is to honor God. That if you don't get into a right relationship with God, there is no way you'll honor somebody who's been dishonorable. There'd be no reason to. You'd be like, why do I need to honor the person who's been mean to me, the person who has abused me, the person who's dishonored me? There would be no reason to. But inside of a right relationship with God, you understand that my value is in God, not in somebody else. And here's what I know, especially for those of you who have struggled with a parental unit, that maybe you've had a dad abandon you or hurt you in some way. Your struggle is, well, I don't even know if I want to go to God, because if God is a dad, I don't know if I want a dad in my life. But here's what I can promise you. Our God, our Father God, our Daddy God is a good God and a good dad. He's good. Look at what Jesus said. In this same sermon, Jesus said, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" That God wants to give you a good gift. And I want you to think about this for a second. That he gave us a good gift in Jesus Christ. That while we have all dishonored God through sin and through our lives, while we were being dishonorable, God sent his son Jesus for us. That he honored us with the presence and the life of his son. Because he is a good dad who will take care of his children. And my hope is today is we'll start there. That if we recognize we need to honor everyone, then we start with the idea of honoring God. Because when we honor God, we'll get the right things in alignment. There's a ministry we're starting this week at church called Regen. It's a discipleship ministry with a recovery emphasis. And some folks from that ministry shot a video this week. And in it, you see that each and every one of them came to understand how to find life in God, in honoring him. Why don't you check out this video?
Hi, my name is Michelle.
Hi, I'm Stephen.
Hi, my name's Adam.
I have a new life in Christ.
I have a new life in Christ.
I have a new life in Christ.
And I came to Regen because I've been struggling with guilt and shame my whole life.
I'm currently in recovery for an eating disorder.
I struggle with drug addiction.
Guilt and shame.
I am recovering from childhood sexual abuse.
And I'm recovering from selfishness and pride and fear.
I'm recovering from sexual addiction and childhood sexual abuse.
And the thing that I discovered coming to Regen is that we all struggle with different things on the outside because we're medicating the same things on the inside. And Regen is a safe place to come to be honest and open about that and start the healing process.
I've asked God to take this problem from me 100 times, but he made it very clear that I needed to go through the recovery process. In Regen, I've learned how to connect the dots to find the true root of multiple sin habits. The excuses I had been using had to go. I've also been able to learn and connect my head knowledge with what my heart now knows, that God's abundant love and his grace is more than sufficient. I am enough because he is more than enough.
I came to Regen and I found that it's a safe place for me to talk about my problems with other Christ-like people. I've been to different recovery programs, but they weren't God-based like this one is.
I have a new life in Christ.
I have a new life in Christ.
I have a new life in Christ.
Because of Christ, we have freedom.
You know, I saw that video come across my phone earlier this week, and I was sitting up in the coffee bar, and just tears started flowing. One, just for the people in that video to have the courage to share that. But then two, because they all have recognized what it means to get right with God. That there are several in that testimony where the thing that had happened is somebody had very much dishonored them. Yet through Christ, they had found life. Through Christ and recognizing that their value was in Christ, then it goes well. Then you can make it through this life. But without that, then there's one, no reason to honor other people. But two, there's no way to live life. And that's the reason I say this, that when it comes to honoring others, whether that is people who are honorable or dishonorable, the first thing we got to do is we got to get right with God. Because through Him, that's the only way people like us, people like me, can do honorable things. Because outside of God, I can't. But through Christ, I can. So we've got to start there by honoring God. And then once we start to honor God, the byproduct, or as the Bible calls it, the fruit of that, is that we'll honor others. That when we start getting things right with God, the things that will come out of your relationship with God should be things that honor others. Because we should be putting God's word into our lives and into action. And that's what Jesus said again in this sermon. He said this. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded the house. Yet it didn't collapse because the foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash." That what Jesus is saying is, if you hear my words and put them into practice, then you're going to be building your life on solid ground and you will last a long time, all right? Then life will go well with you. But if you hear my words and don't put them into practice, then you're building on the sand, and when the storms of life come along, then you're going to find yourself washed away. If that's the case, let me ask you just a simple question as we go into a time of response. Are you building your life on His words? Are you building your life on His words? And that really comes with this idea of honoring everyone. Because if I'll build my life on His words, then the fruit of that is I'm going to honor people. Now, it doesn't get any easier, because you know what that means? It means if I'm building my life on His words, then I learn that I have to love everyone. If I'm building my life on His word, then that means I have to serve everyone. If I'm building my life on His words, my marriage on His words, my career on His words, then it means I have to honor everyone. It means I have to forgive everyone. And you might say, well, how do I love that person or serve that person or honor that person or forgive that person when they've done all that stuff to me? Like it's almost like we say, well, okay, God, but. Okay, God, I hear you say that, but. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, I said, we've got to stop with the buts. No more buts. It's time to forgive and it's time to serve, because we understand what it means. Because if I found forgiveness in God, then I have to be willing to forgive. Now, willing to forgive doesn't mean, let me say this real quick to make sure I don't mess anybody's thinking up. Saying that you forgive and letting it go doesn't mean that the relationship will be restored. For some, that would be dangerous. And that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying you're going to have to let it go. Because if you don't, you're going to harbor bitterness and anger and hatred. And when the storms come or life comes, you're not going to be able to stand, because that hatred, that bitterness, that's what's going to rule your life. But if we understand God's word and how to honor him, and we start putting his word into practice in our life, then we'll understand that I can forgive, I can release, I can serve, and I can honor, because it'll be the natural byproduct. It'll be the fruit of your relationship with God. So my challenge will be to you right now is, will you build your life on his words? And I know what I'm saying might sound simple, but it definitely isn't easy. I had a lady come to me Thursday night and say, Josh, you hit below the belt tonight. And I know. But let's make sure of something real quick. Every time I preach this way, I preach it this way first. That I'm not just preaching at you or to you, that I'm preaching like this right now. And I'm including myself in this, because I know in my life I haven't honored everyone. I know in my life I've dishonored God, and I've dishonored others, and I've dishonored my parents, and I've dishonored my kids. And I know you're in the same boat as me. So I'm going to make a strong challenge, is that we'll listen to what Jesus has to say and we'll put it into practice right now. And again, I warn you, this is every week. Because every week he's going to take one of those commandments and he's going to one-up, and you're going to be like, wow. Like, what I'm saying is probably not good for church growth right now. You'll be like, I don't need to come back and get hit again next week. But if we're going to build our life on his word, we all do. We all do. And what I'm going to challenge us to do right now then is just to move into a time of response, which I could rename it today, a time of repentance. Because each and every one of us needs to repent right now. And again, myself included. That I need to tell God I'm sorry for the way that I've dishonored him in my life at times. For some of you, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You've never responded to him as your Lord and Savior. Which means that you're dishonoring him with your life right now and with your soul. And I want to challenge you during this time of response and repentance that you would give your life to Christ. And you can do that through a prayer by saying, Jesus, I need you. But I want to help you do that. And we have people at the Connect Corner that while we're singing, you can just go straight there. And we'll help you say that prayer. We'll help you take that step. There's a bunch of us this morning that we need to repent, and the way we need to repent is maybe to come up front and take communion and grab that piece of bread and that piece of juice or that cup of juice and spend some time up front or over in the prayer corner on our knees. Maybe I brought up something this morning that is a deep-seated issue with you, because there's some deep hurt. I want you to know you do not need to go through this alone. That we have prayer counselors every week at every service at the Connect Corner and in the prayer corner. If you see somebody standing by those doors or standing by that rail, that means they're there to talk with you. They're there to pray with you, because we want to help you through that. Whatever it is you need to do to respond today, let's do it as an act of repentance. I want you to do me a favor. Let's stand up. And I'm going to pray. Jesus, right now we come before you. And I ask you to move. I thank you that you honor us with your presence. You honor us with salvation. You honor us with life. And when we build on you, it will go well. God, I repent of my sin. I repent of our sin, of not honoring you and not honoring others. And help us to make decisions today that will change that. Help us to do something about that today. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
you so much for joining us today. If you would like more information on how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.